I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. Today, I am joined by visual artist and printmaker, Terry Dilling. Terry, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
Glad to have you in, Terry. I'm interested in one part of your background. So you got a BA from Indiana University in telecommunications and religious studies. That jumped out at me just as something that was just right for conversation. I'm just very curious about how that maybe informed your artistic process, or maybe how you approached that or deviated from that. So talk about that moment in your life, and what was it about those two things that were so interesting to you?
Well, I think the background is that I really liked being a student, and I liked school a lot, and I was really leaning towards liberal arts kind of fields. So as an undergraduate, I wanted to major in philosophy, religious studies, psychology, Spanish. Every class I took, I wanted to major in. So I kind of went that direction. In particular, the religious studies department at Indiana was really strong, and there were a couple professors that really kind of reeled me in a little bit as a major. The telecommunications part, my focus was really TV production, and that's maybe the practical aspect of me that's, you know, looking for something that's more practical and career-wise, and maybe the technical hands-on making stuff. After I graduated, I kind of went into TV production and worked for television news. I worked for NBC News. So I have this roundabout way of how I got to being an artist, but it really does stem from those two things. And I think in TV news, I started doing graphic design for news. So a lot of the on-screen graphics and the little boxes that are over the shoulders of the anchors, I was doing those, and I started taking art classes as part of the, you know, just to get better at design. And then that kind of led me down this art path.
So when did you have that moment where you decided, you know, I think I'm going to embrace being an artist?
It was, you know, in my 20s. I'm kind of a late bloomer as an artist, because actually when I went back to Georgia State to study art, I graduated when I was 30. So a lot of people start a lot younger that way. I feel, you know, hooray for some late bloomers. But it really, art was something I was doing on my own. I think maybe it just wasn't something I thought I could pursue professionally. I thought it would just be kind of a side thing that I did. So maybe it was getting up the guts to really go for it.
And so when you had the moment where you felt as though this could be something professionally, when was that for you in terms of maybe selling your first piece, or just maybe identifying that there was a path ahead of you where you could really make this work?
I would say that happened here in Atlanta. When I was working for NBC, I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we moved here. My husband got a job here in Atlanta. He is a video editor. And I quit the news job, and I really decided I was kind of going to pursue the art thing more. I was freelancing here and got a studio, my first real studio outside my house. I think that maybe was a huge moment of like acknowledging I'm an artist, you know.
So Terry, from that moment, talk about the growth in the Atlanta arts community from what you've been able to experience.
I've been in Atlanta for over 20 years. Yeah, wow, that's weird to say. And, you know, the growth in the art community here has been fabulous. You know, my own experience from that first studio in Decatur, then going back to Georgia State to school, and then really kind of getting networked in with more of the community through school, and getting involved with exhibits and other organizations, you know, that just really grew over time. I think when I was first starting out, there were not as many groups or opportunities for emerging artists as there are now, which, you know, there are so many different kind of residencies and grant projects and things that you can get now. I think it's fabulous. But in school, I studied painting and printmaking. And when I got out of school, there was nowhere to do printmaking. And that was part of the impetus of joining the group that was forming Atlanta Printmaker Studio. So that was 2005. And we really wanted to form this studio as a resource for artists who wanted to learn about printmaking, who wanted access to a studio or classes, and even for non-artists, just to have a way the community could come and experience art through our studio.
Terry, in your art, I'm very interested in this play between nature and space or science or something very ethereal, if you will. And I know that you've done some past work where you've responded to maybe the interplay between arts and science. So can you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, for a while, I have been, I guess in general, inspired by nature and science. And those are broad categories, and maybe any artist could say they look at nature. But what I mean when I say that is really kind of looking at the way the world is structured. So from forms and patterns in nature that are repeated through all different forms, you know, the neurons in our brain and the roots of a tree and the way plants grow. And, you know, there are these connections between these forms. And I'm fascinated with that and with the aspects of scientific research that are trying to explain those kind of things. I mean, even big things that I can't comprehend fully, like quantum physics and stuff. But, you know, we know that matter is made up of all these teeny particles in motion, and it's mostly empty space. And those ideas just really spark visual things for me and, you know, are sort of a way for me to engage understanding the world.
Are artists and scientists really that different?
When I was working with scientists from the Center for Chemical Evolution, I had a grant project to work with them and learn about their research. I was really interested in how similar some of the ways we work are. I mean, I would say their methods sometimes are more strict, where artists can sort of break rules a little more. But it really is creative thinking and questioning things, you know, on both sides.
So when you are thinking about your work, what are you questioning?
I think some of that even goes back to, you know, just even my religious studies background, how I said I was really interested in philosophy and a lot of liberal arts. It is thinking about these big questions, you know, what is the meaning of life and how do we create our own understanding of the world or our own meaning? And those are huge questions that you can't really answer in a couple sentences. And maybe as a visual artist, I believe you know, you can't even answer those things with words very well. So visually, maybe I try to get at little pieces of that, you know, in my works, creating my own sense of order and balance.
Now, I know that you've had some experiences in telecommunications, obviously, mm-hmm. and you've worked with, I guess within design. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about the path that your art has taken in the video realm and how you've approached that process, because I've seen a few of your videos and they are mostly time-lapse videos, but I'm just mm-hmm. curious about how you approach making that kind of work.
It is kind of funny because with a background in video production, I really haven't pursued that in my art. And maybe there's something I'm still am really drawn to 2D painting and prints, where it's a thing that you can look at. It's still in a way, and then you can see different things in it. And that's a little different than video that's moving and changing and maybe sort of dictates the time that you look. So I haven't you know, I haven't quite resolved that. But the time lapse I did maybe was a bridge where I actually set up a still camera shooting down onto an artwork. And then I would, as I would work on it, I would draw a little bit and take a picture and draw a little bit and take a picture. And, you know, you would see the painting being made. And it was really a lot about the process of art and how things evolve.
And from a man hours time perspective, how long did that piece take?
I've actually done kind of two different ones that were the evolution of paintings, but each one probably took about 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Terry, as I think about your career in Atlanta up to this point and even beyond, mm-hmm. you've had work, travel all around the world. This concept of a professional artist and what that looks like. I know a lot of artists in Atlanta and maybe even other places as well think about what does a professional artist's life look like? And as you examine your own career, what does that look like for you? And do you see yourself as a bit of maybe a role model or example for other artists who are starting out?
It's interesting. I think the understanding of yourself as a professional artist is maybe something that kind of grows with time. I remember early on having a mentor say, you know, you really need to think about defining what a successful artist is for you. And then you kind of see yourself being that. And that really helped me think. So it's not really just like making a lot of money, because so few artists make a lot of money. So really, what is the success of like having a studio practice that continues, of being able to have exhibits where you get your work art there, out there? You know, I have to consider those things successes as well. And, you know, working with others to complete projects, you know, having my website up where that, you know, presents the art to the world. I consider part of my professional work. I am one of those people that's really an organized artist. So I think in some ways as a role model, I like to emphasize that to people, because for some artists, it seems really hard to, I don't know, keep a database list of your works and have your website and post pictures on Facebook and, you know, kind of have your resume and your art statement and a short version and a long version and, you know, an art speak version and a regular one or whatever. And I try to, I guess, encourage people with those organizational aspects.
For everyone listening, go visit terrydilling.com. I must say, I thought it was a very well done and thorough website. Very well organized. I was like, oh, this is really great. I can look at all of these different things. And it was very well thought out in terms of the categorization of your work. So terrydilling.com, plug. Well, going from your work, your private work or your individual work into public art, you had a Beltline project, and I'm curious about how your process is either similar or different when you're creating on a different type of scale where you're also including other people in that work. So talk about maybe that process for you.
I love the Atlanta Beltline. It was so much fun. I've actually been involved with 3 projects on the Beltline. And it was my first time doing a public art piece. It was my first time doing something that was going to be outside in the elements. And, you know, that just poses a whole set of challenges that are new and different to what I'm used to doing. But the, you know, the one that was science related the most was called From Stardust to Us. And it was connected to the Center for Chemical Evolution and sort of how life evolved. And I worked with kids. So that was very different, but it was fun because we used a lot of imagery that they got to draw on different life forms and what molecules were and little animals and fish and rocks and things like that. And I was able to screen print all those, you know, to sort of evoke life evolving over a timeline. And, you know, it's maybe a different aesthetic because it, it's out in the elements and it's maybe not as pristine of a of materials or final project when you're doing something like that. But there's, you know, the community element is so much fun. It had more of a whimsical feel.
So given where you are right now in your career and all of the travels that you've had, what do you think is the best decision you've made as an artist?
That's a tough one. I guess where I am right now, and maybe this will be a good plug for Atlanta, is, you know, I'm really glad I decided to root myself here. I think early on, you know, because I'm married, so I'm balancing my husband's career and sort of where are we going to live. And, you know, when I was younger, I always dreamed of moving to New York and kind of doing that path. And I think having stayed in Atlanta has proven to be a great decision. Not only is it, you know, perhaps more affordable to have a studio and more accessible, I think there are just so many great opportunities here. It is one of those communities where I feel like if you have an idea and the gumption, you know, you can make it happen. It's like there are locations, you can write a proposal, you can find a place to exhibit, you can find grant support for individual projects, and it's just really wide open. So I feel that has enabled me really to do a lot of different things. I mean, the fact that I've got to do public art and, you know, collaborations and installation, as well as painting and printmaking and all that, it would be maybe hard to do in a bigger city.
Terry, let all of our listeners know how they can keep up with all that you're involved with. I know I mentioned terrydilling.com earlier, so maybe that's the best place, but I'll let you give any more additional information.
Well, one of the things I'm working towards right now is an exhibit of new work, and it will be at Mason Fine Art. Mason Muir is moving in November, and their grand opening exhibit will be Friday, November 21st, and I'm one of the featured artists. I will have some cyanotypes and new paintings on view.
Terry, thank you for your time.
Thank you.